welcome to the Fearless Ones podcast. I'm Kevin Adams, your host, and this is Holly, my lovely bride and co-host.
Hello.
How's Holly?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Today we are revolutionizing the way we think about and experience the good life, and that is a life of heavenly impact on your earthly surroundings, and that's the way God defines it, so that's our standard.
Yes.
This week is episode 15,
yes,
I believe,
uh-huh.
And we're going to talk about... Well, the working title is Through the Eye of the Needle, Our Only Place of Hope. Hmm. But we'll explain what that means and get into it a little bit. We're also reading from chapter 3 in The Extravagant Fool. And the title of that chapter is Okay, God, It's Your Move, indicating time to surrender.
Yep.
And we've been talking a lot about that. Just to recap, last week we talked about, are you building a mountain of assets or... faith that moves a mountain.
Ooh, yeah.
So big difference between those two. And so we're still in chapter 3. The section this week is called The Thrill of Paradise. And so we're going to jump into that. Before we do, got a few questions.
Okay, yep.
So we want to dig into those questions a little bit or just pop them out there and then we'll come back and work through them.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So the questions this week are, number one... What are you chasing? Mm. What are you chasing?
That's good.
So think about that. The second question is, do you desire a total reliance on God? Did Jesus? And then three, where is there hope? So what are you chasing? Do you desire a total reliance on God? And where is there hope? Where can we find hope? Those are the three questions this week. And so now we can jump into the reading.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's see here. Okay, The Thrill of Paradise. Now, just to go back a little bit, we talked about, you know, we're kind of upwardly mobile in the season of life and things continue to grow our income. And we did a lot of things we had never been able to do before.
Right.
So now... this is a little beyond that and what you tend to chase when you have the opportunity. Okay. All right. We moved for the same reasons as every other American, because we could. For my wife, we moved because of the overwhelming number of leaks and creaks. I was seduced by the devil in plaid on a showroom floor. This baby won't last long. He was right, but for all the wrong reasons. Investing, while my income remained high, was the everyman wisdom of the moment, with an everyman for himself set of rules. Banks were giving away credit for houses as long as you could pay cash for the toaster. Home buyers were knife fighting with credit cards from SUV foxholes, outbidding one another by the hour from cell phones for a slice of counterfeit heaven. On a lark, the year before, my bride went missing for an hour, lost in the wood-frame maze and unpaved roads of the Promised Land in its early stages of construction. Now a bustling community with custom homes fit for a monarch, featuring built-in vacuums, flip-on fireplaces, and marble at every arm's length. Its perfectly planned randomness included a beautiful golf course, kitschy shopping, schools, churches, and the like, all built concentrically from the well-groomed fountain square outward. It was paradise with a cherry on top, and we were hooked by the first few bites. Buying a house priced at four times our income seemed like a good idea, but always felt like a bad one, especially to my wife. Certainly, the banks, staffed with church-going golfers and friendly faces bumping carts in the dairy aisle, were wiser and gentler than any loan shark from the borough. So in the name of providing for our future, I entered the crime scene, choked wisdom to death, and shoved it in the closet, then washed my hands and rolled the dice in hopes of finding a better life, a bit of homespun nostalgia, Andy Griffith style, without all the dusty neighbors. Slam dunk. The neighborhood punk was gone. It's referring to our old neighborhood. Appraisals were soaring and my ego was bowing in the roar of its own applause. I was the smartest guy in the showroom, with only a minor exception. To my Beverly Hillbilly surprise, we'd come under surveillance by the New Homeowners Association, which was carting about like a Gestapo meter maid, ticketing for stray weeds, unapproved trim paint, and porticos with odd furniture. We were in trouble again, and it appeared, but at least we were rich enough to pay for our weeds. Within a year, the thrill and the dog were gone. Newer neighbors, professionals, celebrities, and gurus with tidy haircuts from all walks of wealth looked suspiciously the same as everyone else. So we moved again, three blocks up the hill and a half block below the largest home for miles, into an even newer, more prestigious home in paradise, about one-third larger and nearly twice the price. I was soaring on more business, more blessing, more leveraged investing. After landing another division of an already substantial client, I bought a commercial property as well as bringing my portfolio to three homes, two rental investments, and a business condominium with ample room for a staff of 20, even though I only had one. I suppose the spoils of victory, vision, and comfort will always belong to the tortoise. But the treasure of experience, reaching the end of oneself in hindsight, hands down belonged to the hare. But until then, it was provisioned by leverage at light speed, and there was no turning back. I continued on blindly until the day the phone rang in October of 2008, and it kept ringing, one call after another, with clients telling me they no longer had the budget for my services. When I'd finally been sucker punched by the truth, just in time to watch the enemy run off with my value as a man, the ability to provide, protect, and please my wife. After 40-odd years of being proud of my hollow accomplishments, the emperor, who had no clothes, was all out of hush money. All right, what are your initial thoughts reflecting back?
Well,
aside from the humor.
Yes. Well, the first thing that jumped out at me was where you say, buying a house priced at 4 times our income seemed like a good idea, but always felt like a bad one, especially to my wife. That's the first time I was reminded that, because we've said all along that we prayed about this, felt like we were supposed to move, but this is the first time that I was reminded that early on I'd had that nudge.
Yeah, you did.
That this isn't a good idea. But my flesh took over. And everything you described, the flip-on fireplaces, built-in vacuums, and marble. I mean, this was a lovely neighborhood built on the idea of Charleston. They had the fountain in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what you would picture on a movie set. So
yeah, it was beautiful.
That
still is.
Won out. Even though early on, God gave that initial nudge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have to look back now and say, okay, God, you let us make that decision and look what came of it. Yeah. So much wisdom came of it.
Right.
But I do now recognize and remember, there was some early on things that I did have nudges.
Yeah.
And chose to ignore them. Yeah. So, you know, you do with that. I don't live in regret over it, but I do think, okay, that means that we had the chance to turn back.
Yeah.
And wisdom did not prevail. I think our desires, our fleshly desires, prevailed.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. And the reason I asked the question, what are you chasing? Let me ask the question of you. What were we chasing?
I think we were upwardly mobile. I mean, it seemed like the wisdom of the world made sense at that time. And it's still the same wisdom. And you can get tricked into believing, if I do it for the right reasons, God will come along and bless it.
Right.
If I do it because it's an investment and I want to have this real estate, I want to sell it when it's time to retire, and that will be my retirement. I don't know that there's retirement ever discussed in the Bible, but whatever.
Right. Yeah, there's no teenagers in there either,
So there's worldly wisdom tells you that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Your flesh tells you, this is nice, we work hard, we should get this.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, well, I think that's kind of what we were chasing, I think.
Yeah, I think we were chasing the American dream. Mm-hmm. And I think there is an American dream somewhere underneath all of that that exists. But I think what that's built on is the Christian, Judeo-Christian West, and the things that built America, and the things that we're watching implode right now because people will not repent and humble themselves. And that's kind of why we're preaching that.
Yeah.
But that was our view of it. So think about it this way. We were caught up in the culture of the moment. Now, this was before the 08 bubble bust. And we're about to go through another one that's, I think they're calling it the everything bubble. So it's going to be bigger and all that. But in that season of life, everything converged. What I'm trying to say is everybody was doing
right.
that. Yeah. All the conventional wisdom, all the people at church, the bankers, all the people we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do that. Don't pay off your mortgage. Leverage everything based on a great income and great credit.
Right.
And we had it, you know, oozing out of us. So it would have taken some incredible maturity,
mm-hmm.
even though we had good hearts. So we both felt that, and I think you were more vocal about it than me because I was more, maybe it's more testosterone or whatever, but I wanted to get it.
Seize the moment.
While we could.
Not miss out.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of that comes from our strongholds, but it also comes from the wave, the groundswell of culture
right.
that everybody was caught up in. So
right.
we're not singled out in that. We were just being normal.
Yeah.
You know, but we were chasing that picture.
Yep.
And, I think we accomplished it. All right, so the next thing I wanted to ask, I want to ask our audience, what are you chasing? So look around you right now. Look around you. That type of... let me back up a second. If we hadn't have gone through the implosion, I mean, to me, that was God's generosity
yeah.
with us. He gave us incredible wisdom and strength and all kind of things through our own weakness,
right.
through the discipling model.
Yep.
He took us through a period that helped us learn to totally and completely rely upon Him. I think even today we're understand that.
Right.
But before we could do that, we kept on moving in that direction, even though... You know, you've got two different ways of viewing the world through your logic, through your humanistic, through your five senses,
right.
which wins the day for most people,
mm-hmm.
even people who are, Christians.
Right.
And then you've got the Spirit of God who lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't shove it in the closet and
right.
push it away and follow it instead, that's the better way.
Right.
So we made that choice back then, had a colossal failure. Thank you, Lord, for that.
Yep.
But because most people, a lot of people suffered a little bit back then, and some people really did. But what the culture did not learn, and I'm talking about Christians, because if you're outside of that, you know, we're definitely not talking to you. But if you're calling yourself a Christian, that's that same culture, people that did not lose everything,
right.
that did not have to face the things that we did, just stepped right back in the groove
yep.
and continued on their merry way. All right, so now what are you chasing becomes a giant question
right.
because you're still chasing it.
Yeah.
We no longer are.
Right.
But most people are. And I just made a few notes here, but look around you, it's Sodom.
Mm.
What you see is everything's flipped upside down. And all you have to do is look at celebrity, look at the government, look everywhere, and you will see what I'm calling Sodom, not just for the depravity part of it, but the whole idea of corruption. Corruption is a heart issue, and if you don't like the way the world is, but you don't change something, it will get worse.
Right.
So if you're seduced into that because life is pretty easy for you, comfortable, and you don't go through the boot camp of discipleship, we end up where we are now.
Yeah. Well, what's, you know, I'm going to say this is probably totally inappropriate, but I think it's kind of it's imagery for this. But whenever I go back home to Tennessee and see friends and family, inevitably, this neighborhood almost said it. This neighborhood almost, it always comes up. And every single time someone will say to me, "Hey, have you heard what goes on in there these days?" And I'm like, "Yes, I've heard." And here's what they say. "You know, there's a big-time swingers community in that neighborhood."
Yeah, that's shocking, but I mean, I guess not.
In some ways it is, but when you have that level of wealth and people have everything they want,
right,
then that becomes tiresome. Okay, well, what's the next thing that I can try? Eventually, right, you go down this path of Sodom, which is all bets are off. Anything that might bring me worldly pleasure, mm-hmm, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And apparently there is a very large group of people in this neighborhood that they do that.
Yeah. Well, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard about it here.
Yeah.
And that's just one spoke from the hub of corruption.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got all of these young people who, you know, think they're this or that, or, you know, they're cutting their body parts and taking hormones. And it's an entire mess, but we are at Sodom. And, and I think the reason I bring Sodom up is because the picture, God destroyed it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now. So there isn't any hope, no hope except for Him.
Right.
So the only thing we've got to do is understand, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does that relationship look like? And that's why I'm calling it Through the Eye of the Needle, because you can't take all that stuff through.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want hope, you have to really take a look at this. You know, it's real easy to give to this and that and the other, but if you're not advancing the kingdom or supporting someone who is directly doing it, like we are, then you really need to double check what your life's about and why you have what you have. Okay, so...
Well, I believe that we will stand before God one day.
Yes.
With, did our resources... And that can be our time, our talent, and especially our finances.
Yeah.
Did they go to the advancement of what God wanted it to go to?
Right.
And if it didn't, you can all day long say what you want, but you have to stand before Him one day.
That's right.
And be held accountable. I think some people think, well, I'm a believer, I get to heaven, and woo, party time. No, there's some accountability when we stand before God.
Absolutely.
For what we did with every kind of resource that we came in contact with.
Yeah, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're doing things the way God wants you to.
And it's
the world looks like it does.
Extremely
sobering.
That.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, you know, all we have is the truth. God's given us good health and wisdom, and He's preserved our lives. But we hold everything loosely, not because we want to be poor, but because we want to be led by God and nothing else. We don't want our stuff to own us. So that requires every so often a reset, a recalibration. And if you're not willing to do that, you know, I would question, are you really a believer? So again, it's not about being poor. It's about being a vessel. God wants to use us. This thing's a vapor. And if you're getting our age, you start realizing, oh, wow, it is fast.
Well, and again, how do you define poor?
Right. Yeah.
God doesn't define us as poor
at all. No, not at all.
You know, you're...
we're probably some of the wealthiest people
on the
planet.
Right, the text you sent out this morning, it's interesting because as I was studying yesterday, I came across that verse.
And James.
This one's 2 Chronicles.
Oh, today.
16:9. And I thought about us at that time, and it's, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." And so when each of us is confronted with something very difficult, we have a choice to make.
That's right.
Of how we will handle it. Mm. But God is looking for people that He can show Himself
That's
strong.
That's right. Will I find faith on the earth?
So
He's looking for you and your faithful heart.
Right.
Yeah. And this is it. There is nothing else. Your stuff, you know, your investments, none of that matters. It doesn't mean you can't have that. It means it can't have you. And if it does, even a little bit, you better double check. So that's part of, you know, the season we're in and why we're doing this. We speak truth out of love, not out of anything other than that. You know, if you're in a house and you're on fire, and you know, we're going to break your legs to get you out of there later on, I think you'd be glad,
right?
Rather than whining about your legs getting broken. So anyway, there's a lot of people who feel the way we do and agree, and we're speaking to them, but we're also speaking to people we know that have plenty and just are kind of imprisoned by it, I think. All right, so look around you. What are you chasing? If you're not chasing God truly, mm-hmm. with a humble, repentant heart, then you are chasing Sodom. You're like, Lot, and Lot barely made it, thanks to God's grace. So just think about it. This is truth. If you're a believer and you believe the Word of God, this is what this is based on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not debatable. It's not our opinion. All right, the next question was, do you desire total reliance on God? Do you desire a total reliance on God? And so that's the big question. And I've asked people I've worked with over the years, have you ever truly relied upon God? And, one of my hobbies is trying to stump people and challenge them, because that's my way of loving them, stopping them from just going through the mm-hmm. motions. Get off the hamster wheel and really let it sink in, you know? So a total reliance on God. And I think that's a great challenge question. So think about that. Are you seeking to totally rely upon Him? Is that your greatest desire? And why would that be important in your opinion?
Well, because when I think especially about a verse like this, and there's many other verses like this,
right.
How can God then show Himself if I don't fully rely on Him?
Yeah.
And I'm relying on my own resources, talent, mm-hmm. all of that. His eyes can't find me.
Yeah.
Because I have to have weakness in order for Him to be able to show Himself strong.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So God wants credit. God wants credit. We share the victory, but we got to give Him credit. You can't give Him credit if you have a stealthy hedge, a friendship with the world. If you're hedging against God, even in the slightest way, relying upon your money, your stuff, your power, whatever that might be, if you're relying on that at all, that's an area of your life that needs to be surrendered to God. It doesn't mean you can't have it. It just means it is corruptible. And so,
I think it's funny how many people get offended at this when you start going down this path. Like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, you sent out a text similar to this, and we had multiple people reply back, stop. On the text.
Right.
And these were people who owned successful businesses.
Right.
Because it offended their mind.
Right. Yeah.
And rather than letting their mind stop,
mm-hmm.
they want the text that confront that to stop.
Right. Yeah.
So there's your first clue that you are lukewarm and you have one foot in and one foot out.
Well, and even the text goes on to say, you know, and I use Paul as a reference, but not in that text, but in talking about it. But the point of it is to let it challenge the condition of your heart.
Right.
Let it test you. If you want to know the condition of your heart, just follow your checkbook and your calendar, and it'll tell you everything you need to know. All right? So, but that's right. People get offended, and so be it. You know, we're here to please God and speak truth and let Him lead us in that. But there's a lot of people hurting, and I think our heart goes out to those who already at this point that
yes.
think the way we do, that want to do more, and God's bringing more and more people together, but they're being purified.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the process. This is how He loves you if you're going through something. If you're not, it's time to get on your knees. And so this is really the two different two different tracks you have to run on. All right, so do you desire total reliance on God? Did Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know if that's true or not, did Jesus. And here's a verse that pretty much tells you that. If you want to be like Him,
yeah.
you know, don't just say, well, I can't be like Him. You know,
he
wasn't flying around in golden underwear and using a magic wand. He did what He did by faith as a man. Okay. I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does or also does. So the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. That means Jesus, this is John 5:19. That means Jesus absolutely had a total and utter reliance upon God. That is our standard. It doesn't mean we don't fail. It means when we get up every day, we surrender. We become more like Jesus when we surrender. When we don't, we become more like the world. And if that's what you want, you probably shouldn't be listening to this. But Jesus is our standard, and he desired and gave a total reliance upon his Father. So there's your standard. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so the next question is, where is their hope? Where is their hope? Because we want to give you hope. This is about hope, not just the challenge. You know, it's not fire and brimstone. It's just truth. And it's so needed right now. Not more big churches with, you know, huge $100,000 signs and massive, you know, auditoriums. That's not what's needed right now. What's needed are people who live out their faith and speak truth and find out who they are, their gift set, and they step in with everything and they honor God. And that's I would say, our tribe. Mm-hmm. And so if you want that, we want to help you get there. If you're already there, then come on and let's do it together. But where is their hope? So where is their hope? What's your initial thought on that? You know, just chime in.
I think the hope is in the people who belong to God, who get to the place of saying, I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to pursue him, and I'm going to
That's a big question.
Live a life of impact.
I don't care what it costs me. Sorry to interrupt you. I don't care what it costs me. What that tells me is you cannot be bought.
Right.
What's the root of all corruption?
Yeah.
Choosing the opposite. Eve was bought. Adam was bought. I don't think they intended it, but they listened.
Right.
And were tricked by the enemy. Mm-hmm. The enemy's full of that. So it wasn't that they were bad, right? They weren't.
Right.
But they listened to something else. They were bought. So if you can be bought because your stuff owns you, your business, whatever it is, if it owns your heart, if you think that's all there is to your life, you can be corrupted. So sorry to go off on a big tangent, but that's important.
Right.
You know, that's what total reliance on God is. But you can't be bought no matter what it costs.
Right.
Is the question. All right, so where's their hope? All right, what I put in the title, if we use this title, but the idea here is through the eye of the needle. You've got the narrow gate. Mm-hmm. You've got so many different, I don't want to read them all for time's sake, but you've got so many references to a narrow passage. Jesus is the gate.
Right.
This is not, it doesn't mean it's impossible or hard. It just means that most people will not choose it because they will not make that choice, as we did in years ago when we went and kept spending and leveraging and growing our investment portfolio because everyone else said it was good. And we didn't choose the other thing, the nudge deep down that we felt. So it's time for that, okay? All right, so I've got two different things here I think are important to get through. I tend to give these lessons, so just keep me on track here. But so through the eye of the needle, here's what it means to me, okay? And that's a scriptural reference, and you know it's I'll read it. I'll say it again. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. That's Matthew 19:24. It's also referenced in Luke. But I like this one because Jesus says, I'll say it again. So that means he said it multiple times to the people he's talking to. I'll say it again. He's really driving this home. Why? It's because you can't serve two masters. You cannot do this. And he's pleading with people. All right. So You know, there's people out there think, well, a needle isn't a needle. And there's no evidence whatsoever for that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's an attempt to justify what they want. Yeah.
Very small hole, big animal.
What's it matter?
Jesus is giving us a big old gut punch to wake us up out of love. So I hope this is translating. But having
most people find that so offensive.
Yeah,
it offends the mind so strongly that they just don't want to hear it.
They don't. Yeah, it's probably why we don't have a million listeners. All right, so let's look at what is through the eye of the needle look like. You cannot take your wealth, your comfort, anything through that passage. It doesn't belong there. It belongs here, and you're supposed to be a good steward of it. What is a good steward? Well, you better start with pouring it into the kingdom of God. If you do not, then, you know, you'll have to deal with that. Okay, well, we've already talked about that. So let's just talk about what it looks like to go through this process and what the world needs right now, especially around us in our Christian culture. All right, so I've got two different things: getting through the needle, mm-hmm. getting through the needle, and then living through it or on the other side of it. So I want to walk through that. Getting through the needle is repentance. Mm. That's repentance. And we certainly have had to do that, and I think we have to do that every day, actually. You know, but it's part of the surrendering process. Yeah. Okay, so it's not beating yourself up. It is totally letting go of everything and saying, Lord, direct my steps, and I'm sorry for things that I've done, and help me to never do it again. Read the Lord's Prayer even. All right, so getting through the needle means repentance. So if you need to get through it, if you can't let go of your stuff, or you can't let go of something, or hatred towards somebody, or whatever it is, repent. This is so important. All right? Repent. That'll get you moving through the needle. Okay? Again, you don't have to lose everything. It's about letting go of it. Letting go. All right? Living through the needle or on the other side of it. Well, let me go back to repentance real quick here. Okay? What do a lot of people do? They repent. They want to wait till the last moment to repent. They want to wait. Now, why can't you do that? Why can't we all just wait till the last moment and repent? That's what the world does, okay? So the reason you can't do that is because the more you don't do it, the more hardened your heart becomes. People are baffled over the mystery of Pharaoh's heart. Why or how did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Pharaoh's heart, it says he hardened his heart, but the way that happens is God allows us to choose. And the longer our choice is not the right one, then our heart gets more and more hard. So you can't repent at the last moment because God gives you over to it. So don't think there's anything beyond this moment to repent. You must do it now, and you better do it daily. And we're practicing what we're preaching here, but it doesn't matter how much you go to church or any of that. What matters is, are you letting go totally and letting God have His way with you and getting all that stuff out of your heart, depression, whatever it is, okay? So you can't wait till the last minute to do this. So don't trick. That is a trick of the enemy, mm-hmm. All right? I wanted to make sure we got that in. All right, living through the needle. What I call this is, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we're taught to do that. And a lot of times people look at it as a lucky charm, but this is a posture. So I teach people to pray within from the name of Jesus, like as if you're in Him, because it says that we're in Him on the earth, basically, and He's in us from heaven through us. So He's in us and we're in Him. Now, that's paradoxical, but I just want to break this down to one simple idea. I know you're praying in the name of Jesus, but are you living from within the name of Jesus? You know, just think of like an environment. If you can go into that environment, carry yourself through that, let your spirit lead you there every day. I mean, picture it that way. And then what happens is repentance is an ongoing thing. Getting up, being not concerned, being fearless, all these things are there But if you keep your head on this side of the veil and your heart's over here, then you're double-minded. And that's why I mentioned the James thing. Friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God.
Right.
So you can't do both, okay? So you have to repent, and then you have to get up every day and walk through that veil and see this environment and let it encapsulate you, and you'll start seeing things. God will start illuminating and showing you things. All right, so that's getting through the eye of the needle and living on this side of it. And you can live that lifestyle, and we do, and a lot of people don't understand it. Anyway, all right, so last thing here, just to wrap this up, I've got a couple of challenge ideas. But I wanted to give you a chance to just jump in anymore.
No, go ahead.
Reflecting back on the book or...
Keep going. That's okay.
Okay. All right. So just to wrap this up, here's a challenge for you this week. Imagine that you actually gave Jesus the opportunity to sit down with you and ask you one very direct personal question. What would he ask of you and how would you respond? So you're giving him the opportunity to ask you one direct question. Think about it. Just go there. And, you know, I want to give you some food for thought. The other one is, and this one's a really good one, a good takeaway for you. And I think it's in Hebrews, but it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So if it is impossible to please God without faith, then it is impossible to please God without demonstrating that faith in what areas of your life? All of them, right? So if it's impossible to please God without faith, then it is impossible to please God without faith demonstrated in your business, in your marriage, in your parenting, and in your giving and supporting God's kingdom advancement. And whatever that looks like, it's time to get on with it, because this corruption is taking over unless we stand up and speak truth. All right, so that's it. That's all I got. We learned this the hard way. This book is simply a guideline for the teaching. So anything else?
I don't think so. There was a couple other things that jumped out at me, but...
We can go another one or two.
I just think that it's really good here where you say, I suppose the spoils of victory, vision, and comfort will always belong to the tortoise, but the treasure of experience reaching into oneself and hindsight hands down belong to the hare. Until then, it was provisioned by leverage at light speed, and there was no turning back. So I think it is so important that we focus on that, the victory, the vision, and comfort belong to the tortoise. The long haul is that, right. Is surrender.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to get there.
Yeah.
It's just slow, sure, plodding. Every day you wake up, you surrender. You say, God, is there anything I'm holding back? Is there any way that I have one foot in the world and one foot with you?
Yeah.
Am I sitting on the fence in any regard?
Yeah. That's because, right.
And then, I think it was last week, God won't ever take anything from you that he doesn't give you something better.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is worth the exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, he tests his people. Mm-hmm. And if you're being tested, go with it. If you're not, you need to be asking yourself why.
Right.
And
you know, also, I've been feeling this strongly. If you're sitting under the teaching of someone, or you're attending Bible studies week in and week out, and you're not leaving challenged, if you're not having your mind offended,
right,
what's it doing for you?
Yeah, what's the point?
What is the point?
Right.
So yeah, I've been feeling that lately.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I love you.
You do.
If you want what we have, we don't take depression stuff. We're not on medication. We're healthy. We have what God gives us, and he's building some good stuff underneath. We have a great marriage. Our children are God's. This isn't bragging. We're bragging on God. God's building foundation, and the world desperately, and the next generation desperately needs this right now. So,
and I would challenge you to ask yourself what you consider wealth.
Yeah.
Really?
It's true wealth.
Yep.
It has eternity.
Because I think by the world's standards, we have no wealth.
Right.
But by God's standards, we're extremely wealthy,
exactly.
Which are the things you just described.
Yeah. So. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yes.
Went a little long, but we're not apologizing. We thank you for taking the time to listen if you have, and if you would share it with someone else if you think they need to hear it, and we'll leave that up to you and any support you have.
Let me mention one more thing.
Yeah.
My course is complete. Yay. And I also have a free ebook that I have on my website. So extravagantlifewellness.com. You can access my Kickstart course and a free ebook. So check it out.
Yeah, she worked really hard
on
it. A lot of good knowledge in there. And that's another way to help support what we
right.
do. We've got a ton more courses on the way. But anyway, all right. So thanks again. Thanks a ton. We love you. God bless you. And
see you soon.